You're listening to the CyberWire Network, powered by N2K.
The IT world used to be simpler. You only had to secure and manage environments that you controlled. Then came new technologies and new ways to work. Now, employees, apps, and networks are everywhere. This means poor visibility, security gaps, and added risk. That's why Cloudflare created the first-ever connectivity cloud. Visit cloudflare.com to protect your business everywhere you do business. Change Healthcare gets hit with another ransom demand. A French football team warns fans of a cyber attack. The Home Depot breach is chalked up to a misconfigured SaaS application. The FCC looks to shore up car connectivity security to protect survivors of domestic violence. Targus reports a disruptive cyber attack. A massive doxing event hits El Salvador. India's top audio and wearables brand investigates a customer data breach. The Israeli military jams GPS. Microsoft Security's Ann Johnson, host of the Afternoon Cyber Tea podcast, shares a segment from her latest episode featuring Jason Healy, founding scholar and director for cyber efforts at Columbia's School of International and Public Affairs. They're discussing nurturing trust in cybersecurity. And I'll have a burger with a side of surveillance. It's Tuesday, April 9th, 2024. I'm Dave Bittner, and this is your CyberWire Intel Briefing. Thanks for joining us here today. It is great to have you with us. The Change Healthcare data breach saga has intensified with a newly emerged ransomware group called Ransom Hub, claiming to possess 4 terabytes of data stolen from the healthcare tech company in February. Originally linked to the ALF-V Black Cat ransomware group, this breach led to significant operational disruptions and threats of sensitive data exposure. Despite an alleged $22 million ransom payment by United Health Group's subsidiary Optum to ALF-V Black Cat, the funds were reportedly stolen by the group in an exit scam, leaving the original perpetrators without payment. Ransom Hub is now demanding a ransom from United Health, threatening to sell the stolen data, which includes sensitive medical and personal information, to the highest bidder if payment is not made. This incident highlights the complexities and dangers of ransom payments, with experts cautioning against such actions due to the risk of becoming repeated targets for extortion. The involvement of multiple ransomware groups and affiliates in the cybercriminal ecosystem adds layers of complexity to resolving these sorts of breaches. Paris Saint-Germain, the Qatari-owned French football team, alerted fans to a cyber attack on its online ticketing service detected on April 3rd. The incident was reported as PSG prepares for a Champions League quarterfinal match against Barcelona. Despite no evidence of data extraction, the club, facing potential fines under EU data protection laws, informed France's data protection regulator and took immediate steps to enhance security. The cyber attack underscores the vulnerability of major football clubs to cybercriminal activities, as seen with Manchester United in 2020 and the Royal Dutch Football Association in 2023. PSG has assured that a vulnerability was quickly fixed and has advised fans of the potential compromise of personal information. The recent Home Depot data breach, which compromised information of over 10,000 employees, was attributed to a misconfigured software-as-a-service application, highlighting a widespread issue across enterprises. Information leaked on a hacking forum included employee names, work emails, and user IDs, raising concerns about potential social engineering attacks. The breach, which was confirmed by Home Depot on April 7th, was due to a third-party vendor's error. Security experts emphasize the need for enterprises to address SaaS misconfigurations to prevent these sorts of incidents. They advocate for better visibility into SaaS risks, monitoring of user behaviors, and connected applications to secure sensitive data and strengthen defenses against similar vulnerabilities. The FCC is initiating a process to explore methods for preventing the misuse of car connectivity tools by abusers against domestic violence survivors. This move, announced on Monday, involves a proposed rulemaking to assess how automakers and wireless providers can support abuse survivors. Stemming from the enforcement of the 2022 Safe Connections Act, aimed at enhancing access to communication services for domestic abuse survivors, the FCC's action seeks to address the potential risks connected car services pose. The proposal includes considering classifying connected cars as mobile virtual network operators, which would significantly increase regulatory oversight, including prohibiting the sale of geolocation data and improving transparency around data practices. The FCC aims to ensure that connected car technologies align with the Safe Connection Act's objectives, enhancing safety and security for domestic violence survivors using these services. Laptop and tablet accessories maker Targus reports experiencing a cyber attack disrupting its operations after an unauthorized access to its file servers was detected on April 5, 2024. The attack led Targus to implement its incident response and business continuity measures to investigate, contain, and remediate the disruption, as disclosed in a Form 8K filing by its parent company, B. Riley Financial. Although the attack caused temporary business interruptions, Targus has since contained the incident and is in the process of recovering its systems with the assistance of external cybersecurity experts. The details regarding potential data exfiltration have not been disclosed, but regulatory authorities and law enforcement have been notified. There's been no claim of responsibility for the attack by any ransomware gangs or threat actors. A hacker has released the personal information of over 5 million Salvadorans, marking the largest data breach in El Salvador's history. Detailed data, including full names, birthdays, phone numbers, addresses, email addresses, and Social Security equivalent DUI numbers, along with high-definition headshot photos, have been leaked on the dark web. This breach impacts the majority of Salvadoran adults, with the country's total population around 6.6 million, including a significant diaspora. Initially offered for a $250 fee since August, the data was released for free after a failed ransom demand by the hacker. The incident was confirmed by La Prensa Gráfica, a major Salvadoran newspaper. Boat, India's top audio and wearables brand, is probing a potential data breach following online advertisements of a supposed customer data cache. The leaked information, verified by TechCrunch against exposed phone numbers, includes full names, phone numbers, email addresses, mailing addresses, and order numbers, indicating authenticity. The breach reportedly occurred in March, affecting over 7.5 million customers. Boat confirmed the investigation into the alleged leak, emphasizing customer data protection as a paramount concern. The data breach involved credentials reportedly stolen from Boat's systems, with references to Shopify in the leaked data. Boat holds a significant market share in India's wireless earbuds and wearables sectors, and it postponed its IPO plans amid market slowdowns, despite being valued at $300 million in a 2021 funding round. The Israeli military has been jamming GPS in Tel Aviv as a defensive measure against the threat of Iranian reprisal. This has significantly disrupted daily life, affecting everything from navigation apps like Waze and Google Maps to public transportation payments and even matchmaking on dating apps. Initially targeting Tel Aviv to protect against potential Iranian attacks, The GPS disruptions are a response to a strike on Iran's diplomatic compound in Damascus, attributed to Israel, which killed senior military officials. Iran vowed to retaliate, leading to widespread operational changes in Israel, where residents have adapted to GPS scrambling by the military for the past 6 months. The situation highlights the broader implications of modern warfare tactics on civilian life and technology, emphasizing the reliance on GPS for various aspects of daily activities and the challenges of maintaining normalcy amidst security threats. Coming up after the break, Microsoft Security's Ann Johnson, host of the Afternoon Cyber Tea podcast, shares a segment of her latest episode featuring Jason Healy, founding scholar and director for cyber efforts at Columbia's School of International and Public Affairs. Stay with us.
Managing the requirements for modern security programs is increasingly challenging and time-consuming. Enter Vanta. Vanta gives you one place to centralize and scale your security program. Quickly assess risk, streamline security reviews, and automate compliance for ISO 27001, SOC 2, and more. You can leverage Vanta's market-leading trust management platform to unify risk management and secure the trust of your customers. Plus, use Vanta AI to save time when completing security questionnaires. CyberWire daily listeners can get $1,000 off by going to vanta.com/cyber. That's vanta.com/cyber.
In the dynamic world of enterprise security, identity architects and IT leaders face a major challenge. Growth by repeated acquisitions multiplies the complexity of everything. Multiple IDPs, MFA providers, policy engines that all need to coexist. This can lead to fragmented user identities and policies that create security vulnerabilities and add access friction. Strata Identity solves this. Now you can decommission unneeded IDPs and consolidate the ones you'd like to keep without rewriting apps or disrupting users, engineers, and app owners. Plus, Strata's modular architecture makes it easy to integrate with any identity provider without manual maintenance and coding. Join the ranks of cybersecurity leaders using identity orchestration. Visit strata.io/cyberwire, share your top identity security priorities, and receive a pair of complimentary AirPods Pro. Offer valid for organizations with over 5,000 employees. Step into a new era of identity management at strata.io/cyberwire. Ann Johnson is host of Microsoft Security's Afternoon Cyber Tea podcast. In a recent episode, she spoke with Jason Healy, founding scholar and director for cyber efforts at Columbia's School of International and Public Affairs. Here's their conversation.
Today, I am joined by Jason Healy, who is a senior research scholar at Columbia University's School for International and Public Affairs, specializing in cyber conflict, competition, and cooperation. Prior to this, Jason was the founding director of the Cyber Statecraft Initiative of the Atlantic Council, where he remains a senior fellow. Jason was the editor of the first history of conflict in cyberspace, called A Fierce Domain, Cyber Conflict 1986 to 2012. He also co-authored the book Cybersecurity Policy Guidebook by Wiley. Welcome to Afternoon Cyber Tea, Jason.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for having me.
So you literally wrote the book on cyber conflict, and you've examined regulatory policy on cyber. You've looked back over the past 25 years or more. Can you give the audience a brief history lesson? I'd love it also, and comment on what stands out to you. Are there trends that came to the surface way back in the late 90s that you believe still exist today?
There certainly are. You know, I'll start on cyber threat intelligence. One of the first lessons that we had to learn in the 1990s in the military that was at the unit I was at, the Joint Task Force Computer Network Defense, with people like Bob Gourley and myself at Defense Intelligence Agency, with people like Mike Tanji, in the private sector. Companies like iDefense, which started the private sector cyber threat intelligence, with people like Matt DeVoe. And one of the early rules was physical conflict begets cyber conflict. So we would say, all right, you know, hey, we're seeing a Taiwanese election. We're seeing that there is going to be a World Economic Forum meeting. We see, and as we were seeing these physical events, we got trained very quickly to be looking for the cyber echoes of that spillover that would reflect that physical conflict and maybe sometimes even predict it, might be a precursor to.
Last year, you wrote on this concept that I found interesting because I'd never thought about it before. And it was fascinating to me. And I'm always, I pride myself on trying to be a lifelong learner. But you talked about soft cyber power. Can you explain what soft power is and how you've seen it play out, particularly in context to the cyber industry?
Yes, soft power comes from the international relations community. And it was written about by one of the real leaders in the field of thinking about political science and international relations, Joe Nye of Harvard University. And around the time of the end of the Soviet Union, 1990, Joe looked at power and said, boy, too much of our thinking about power, and you know, power generally meaning trying to get someone, you know, trying to influence others so that the outcomes are in line with what you want, with your preferences. And he said too much of the writing and thinking about power in international affairs was about force, right? It was about militaries and diplomacy, and it was about, you know, twisting the other guy's arm to influence him so they would do what the United States wanted or whatever country that they were with. And he said, that's obviously not quite right, or it's not the whole story. So, of course, you have that hard power, sanctions or you know, diplomatic bullying or military force at the various very highest ends, nuclear threats. But a lot of it is soft power, right? This convincing the other person to act in line with your preferences, and maybe even a way that don't even know that they're acting in line with your preferences. And a lot of the early work was looking at, boy, just the way that the United States over the Cold War was able to influence people with our culture. And, you know, with jazz and Coca-Cola and blue jeans and the ideas of all of these things, these trappings of liberty and capitalism that were a beacon to the rest of the world and helped lead to the end, the fall of the Berlin Wall and the ultimate end of the Soviet Union. Because people were enticed by the idea of the West and the United States. And so what you can do by convincing, and again, in many ways that people don't even know they're acting in line with your preferences. And this really struck me, especially when I was writing that history book, A Fierce Domain, because the attack on Estonia by Russian hacktivists in 2007, it always struck me that we never got that story quite right. Because the way that we would tell the story was that, well, Estonians got wiped off the network and, you know, they really got defeated and, you know, so we should learn lessons from that. And neither one of those is really true. They unplugged themselves from their internet exchange point from external traffic. So they didn't get wiped off the network. They took themselves off the network so that way they could continue to have internal communications, even if they couldn't communicate externally to the country. And also, Estonia won, right? The Russian hacktivists were doing this to try and coerce Estonia into not moving a statue of a Red Army soldier, and they still moved it. So the Russian hacktivists didn't meet their ends. And in the end, Estonia was able to get substantial help to mitigate the event, and a NATO cyber center was ultimately hosted in Estonia. And it led me to look and say, wait a minute, Estonia succeeded because they had friends and allies.
That's Jason Healy from Columbia's School of International and Public Affairs, speaking with Microsoft Security's Ann Johnson, host of the afternoon Cyber Tea podcast. Hey, everybody. Today, I want to highlight a name that all of us know well, and that is our sponsor, Splunk. You need to keep operations humming around the clock, but potential disruptions are everywhere. Splunk helps you predict problems and find and fix issues fast so you can reduce risk and ditch downtime. The world's largest enterprises rely on Splunk's unified security and observability platform to become more efficient, resilient, and innovative. With Splunk, you can react quickly, evolve faster, and be ready for anything. Stay ahead of disruptions. Learn more at splunk.com/resilience. And we thank Splunk for sponsoring our show. And finally, Forbes looks at the infiltration of surveillance technology into the fast food and vending machine sectors. Leading tech corporations have paved the way for consumer surveillance, establishing a model that fast food chains and vending machine companies are now emulating. In a notable case at the University of Waterloo, Canada, students accidentally uncovered that vending machines on campus, supplied by Switzerland-based Invenda, were utilizing facial recognition technology to track users' age and gender without their consent. Invenda's ambitions to expand into the U.S. market following a $19 million seed funding round further highlight the potential scale of this issue. This shift is particularly concerning in public and semi-public spaces, such as hospitals and government buildings, where confidentiality is paramount. Moreover, the fast food industry's adoption of similar surveillance tactics, employing systems to monitor and analyze employee-customer interactions, illustrates a growing trend toward the automation and control of service processes. These practices, while aimed at optimizing efficiency and service quality, come at the cost of personal privacy and autonomy, with little regulatory oversight to safeguard consumer rights. This evolving landscape raises pressing questions about the balance between technological innovation and privacy protection. As companies increasingly prioritize data collection and analysis over traditional customer service values, the need for comprehensive privacy legislation and ethical guidelines becomes ever more critical. The challenge lies in ensuring that technological advancements serve to enhance, rather than undermine, consumer rights and freedoms. In this new era of automated surveillance, some wonder if the fast food experience has lost its flavor, replaced by the bitter taste of lost privacy. And that's the CyberWire. For links to all of today's stories, check out our daily briefing at thecyberwire.com. We'd love to know what you think of this podcast. You can email us at cyberwire@n2k.com. N2K Strategic Workforce Intelligence optimizes the value of your biggest investment, your people. We make you smarter about your team while making your team smarter. Learn more at n2k.com. This episode was produced by Liz Stokes. Our mixer is Trey Hester, with original music by Elliot Peltzman. Our executive producers are Jennifer Ivan and Brandon Karp. Our executive editor is Peter Kilpie, and I'm Dave Bittner. Thanks for listening. We'll see you back here tomorrow. And now a word from our sponsor, Netskope. Netskope is a worldwide leader in SASE and Zero Trust. Its unified platform, Netskope One, provides optimized access and Zero Trust security for people, devices, and data anywhere they go, helping customers reduce risk, accelerate performance, and get unrivaled visibility into any cloud, web, and private application activity. To learn more about how Netskope helps customers be ready for anything on their SASE journey, visit netskope.com.